time we have remaining, please turn to 2 Timothy 3. We'll be in verses 14 to 17, very familiar text. Hopefully, though, I want to come at it from a different direction. Don't get too worried. But the theme or the title of this is Providing Biblical Direction to the Youth of South Africa. And you could take South Africa out and you could also put America in there, okay? So it definitely applies. And I want you to apply it to your own context. But for sake of the burden I'm trying to emphasize in the presentation, I want to direct it that way towards the youth of South Africa. So here's some facts for you. Number one, Africa is the world's youngest continent with a median age of around 20 years. In 2023, about 40% of the population was 15 years old or younger, compared to a global average of 25%. So South Africa's youth population average 40%, the rest of the globe 25%. Africa is the world's fastest growing continent. Now, this third one might surprise you. Within the next decade, Africa will have the world's largest workforce, surpassing China and India. By the 2040s, Africa will account for 2 out of every 5 children born on the planet. And then this fifth point, which keep in mind, this is a secular statement. This isn't from a Christian magazine or any. In fact, this is from Google. So that's my great resource that I'm citing here. The continent's young population can be a huge asset, but only if they are empowered to reach their potential. Let me say that one more time. The continent's young population can be a huge asset, but only if they are empowered to reach their potential. Now, what strikes me about this statement is this is the secular world making this statement. What they care about is economy, money, jobs, poverty alleviation, and all that. All good things, by the way. All great things. Hopefully, we're cool with that. And as God gives us ability, we can help with all that stuff. But the real issue for a young person reaching their potential is spiritual. And what I want to argue is, and here's my question to you, what is the church going to do about that statement, about seeing young people reach their full potential? What is the church going to do about that? We are the ones that are best equipped to help the youth in America or in Africa reach their potential. Why? Well, number one, we actually believe in a creator God. That's foundational. If you believe that God created the world, then you can't reach your full potential unless you're restored in relationship with Him, because that's the whole reason you were created. What sources out there can a young person go to that's actually telling them that? All they're going to hear is, well, you need to find your passion. Do it. You know, find your passion. Go make a lot of money. Okay? Go help humanity. All good things, they don't go far enough, because there's not the spiritual component that you are a created being, created in the image of God, and the only way that you'll ever reach your full potential is in relationship to Him. Only way. And the church is the one that believe in a creator God. Second, we've been entrusted with truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The church has been entrusted with truth. We've literally been given truth. And then also we've been commissioned with the gospel. Commissioned with the gospel. You know, I often ask this, but it's amazing when we stop and think about the statement. You know, you could go to a young person and just say, do you want to be a part? And I'll ask you this question as well. Do you want to be a part of something big in your life? I mean, who doesn't, right? Someone might say, yeah, I don't know, don't really care about that. But they're lying. I mean, we all want to be a part of something big. We want to do something with our life. We want to achieve our goals. Do you want to be a part of something big in your life? Be a part of the church. What you're doing right now is the biggest, most impressive, greatest purpose that you'll find anywhere across this world. It's not just coming to church. Church is not just showing up to a building, singing songs, sitting in a pew, saying hi to someone, or maybe not saying hi to someone, and leaving. It's far bigger than that. God is redeeming a people for himself. He's reconciling us himself. He's taken you from your sin. All of us hellbound sinners, he's rescued you out of that, and he's placed you over here for his purpose, for his mission, that you can go and be ambassadors for Christ and tell others how to be rescued the same way that you were. That's the biggest, best mission of all time. You're not going to find anything in your workplace, anything at your local social club that can match that. It's literally what God is doing today. We've been given the greatest purpose and mission the world has ever known, to take the gospel to all the nations. It's amazing. It's enough to excite you the rest of your life. And it's not going to be easy if you like a challenge. Now, Christ is going to do it, but he's asked you to be a part of that. Romans 10 tells us that if you don't go, they don't hear. It's a very sobering reality. So, how can we help give direction to young people in South Africa and America, wherever, that they reach their full potential for Christ and his kingdom? And in the few minutes we have remaining, let's look at 2 Timothy 3:14-17. 2 Timothy 3:14 says this, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Verse 16, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So 3 points here. Go through these rather quickly. Number one, the value of scripture. The value of scripture. Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired, we say, the theological term. It's inspired, but also these inspired words of God we see are beneficial. They're helpful. What does it say in verse 16? It says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable." It's beneficial for what? Well, number one, we see for teaching. So it gives doctrine. It gives right doctrine. It gives right teaching. It builds our knowledge base of truth. We know right from wrong based on this doctrine, this teaching. It's beneficial for reproof. This means that it exposes false doctrine. I think, again, in our context of, we've talked a lot about nominal Christianity, even in our Q&A time. And nominal Christianity in Africa, in the U.S., or wherever it may be, what exposes that? How do you really know who's real and who's not? The scriptures. That's what tells us. It reproofs. It's beneficial for correction. It helps restore one's doctrine. It helps you send them the right way, not just in a negative way, that would be the reproof, but in a positive way, it corrects them, it directs them towards where they ought to go, helps restore their doctrine. And then also it's good for training in righteousness. It trains one in righteous and holy living. They guide us, they direct us. How do you know how to live? How do you know how you should live? You go to the book. You go to the scriptures. So there's a value in the scriptures, but we see that this benefit, this profitable reality produces something. It produces a leader that is proficient. Now, I understand that we could make the same application for all believers, so I want us to do that in verse 17, but also understanding in the context of 2 Timothy, Paul specifically speaking to Timothy, and he has this idea of ministry leadership in mind, I think, even all throughout this passage. But it produces proficiency in the leader. The scriptures produce a proficiency or a completeness. Look at verse 17, it says that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. A completeness in the leader that equips them for whatever God calls them to do. They're capable for the task. Whatever God brings before them, whatever ministry assignment they're given, whatever comes up in this this ministry that God has called them to, they can be equipped to do. They're okay. Why? Because the scriptures. Immersing ourselves in the scriptures, being equipped with the scriptures, produces proficiency and capability for the ministry task. So, we've established that, but where I really want to leave this and what I want you to think about this evening is the third point, the necessity of teaching. So we talked about verse 16 and 17, back up to verse 14 again. So Paul speaking to Timothy here. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. It's an important phrase. And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So in verse 14, who's it talking about, knowing from whom you learned it? Well, I guess you could say many people that maybe influenced Timothy, one of which the Apostle Paul definitely influenced Timothy and other ministry leaders as well. But I think specifically, especially in context of the book, and how he goes on in verse 15, he says, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. So if you go back to the beginning of 2 Timothy, read verses 3 to 7. You don't have to, but I'm going to turn there and read. It says, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. So we see here that Timothy's childhood at least had a godly mother, godly grandmother, that was pouring, it seems, the scriptures into him. And they were teaching Timothy. The word used in verse 15, have been acquainted with, is actually the same word that's used in 1:15, to be aware. It says 1:15, you are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And so that same word in verse 15 of chapter 3 is used to say you've been acquainted. So we could think of it as you've been aware of these sacred writings from childhood because your grandmother and your mother. So here's my question for us. Timothy had a family that taught him the scriptures. But what do we do for all those young people who don't have a godly grandmother and mom to teach them? Which is becoming more and more every day, no matter where you are. I'm burdened for our context because I see a lot of these young people growing up. Many of them don't know either parent. Some of them have one parent, maybe some of you in here as well. And many of those parents don't care about them in life even, about getting them to the next point, let alone sharing the scriptures with them. Many of them are unbelievers. And this is the situation, the reality for so many. And so my question to us is, what are we going to do about that? The church needs to step up. The church needs to fill that void. The church needs to say, we make it our mission to go find those young people or adults as well, and we're going to teach you what the scripture says. You're not going to get left out of this. We're going to find you. We're going to take this book. We're going to share the gospel as they come to Christ, and we're going to take it on ourselves. It's going to be hard. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to cost you. It might cost you financially, but it'll definitely cost you time. It's going to be very difficult, but it's the ministry. It's what we do. The church needs to step up to see these young people be taught the scriptures. God has determined that the scriptures must be taught. Again, we see this alluded to in Romans 10, where it talks about this spoken word that unless they hear, they won't respond. Unless they're sent, you can't proclaim, preach. God has determined that the scriptures must be taught, and apart from teaching, the Great Commission will not be accomplished. That's actually literally in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples, teach them. Teach them everything that I've commanded. That's a lot, by the way. Teach them everything that I've said, basically, what Christ has commanded. So apart from teaching, the Great Commission will not be accomplished. Here's a picture of, how many of you know of the devotional writer Andrew Murray? Okay, how many of you read many of his books? If you know of him, I guess you've read him. How many of you have never heard of him? It's okay. You don't need to be embarrassed, by the way. That wasn't, you know, don't feel bad, okay? Andrew Murray was a South African pastor in the 1800s, early 1900s, a Dutch Reformed pastor. In that day, the Dutch Reformed Church was everywhere, and he was a very influential figure in that. Really known for his devotional writing. You've probably read a lot of his, maybe Abide in Christ, Humility, his prayer books. He has many of them. So this was this building is an institute, actually specifically a missionary training institute in the town of Wellington, which was Andrew Murray's last pastorate, pastored there for, I think, 30, 35 years. And this facility was actually started by Murray to help train those for the mission field that didn't want to go to the seminary, that was the denominational church, you know, was a part of the seminary. They didn't want to go to seminary because they didn't want to have to learn Latin and Greek and all that stuff, okay? So I guess this is similar to, think of it as the Bible Institute movement, maybe like D.L. Moody, and when that really took off. Not that it's not good to learn like Greek and Hebrew, and even if you want to learn Latin, go for it, okay? But he started this institute as a training for missions in the lives of these young people, but maybe they couldn't quite cut it at the seminary. They were specifically trained in missions. Murray had his local congregation that he pastored in Wellington basically financed this institution for the first 25 years. So just Murray's church financed this ministry from, again, the late 1800s to about 1900, first 25 years of its existence, till the Dutch Reformed Church finally took it over. It closed in 1962. By that time, it had been taken over by, I think, Stellenbosch University, and the Bible program may have, I'm not sure if they had gone full liberation theology at that point, but it was heading that direction. But it was closed in 1962, having sent a total of 566 mission ministers throughout South Africa and the rest of the continent. And Murray's heart for this institute was to see people train and sent out, either in South Africa or the rest of the continent, to see the ministry continued, the Great Commission further. And so I just want to leave you with this. As you pray for our ministry, our heart, for what God's doing there, I would ask you, or if you ask me, what do you hope FTI accomplishes? What do you hope this institute that you're starting accomplishes? I would say, that's what I hope. I hope that young people come, they're trained in the scriptures, they practice it in the local church, and I hope that, yes, they take some of our church plants there, but I hope a lot of them go out to the rest of the continent and the rest of the world with the good news of the gospel and God's great commission that he's called us to. So I would ask you to pray towards that end. As you take our prayer card or as you think of this ministry, pray that God would use it as a mission-sending, launching entity in partnership with the church there, which is the actual sending ministry. But we'd see this benefiting the church work there and ministers trained and deployed to the nations. Let's pray.